We are in chapter 11 of Luke's Gospel when we have this condemnation pronounced by our Lord, which in a way is very, very terrifying. And you may wonder, why would he do this? Why would he confront these people like this? The answer, once again, is mercy. You can't go on like this. Why does the church so clearly say that anyone who would support an abortion agenda is wrong? It's running the risk of their salvation. Mercy. Mercy. Well, people sometimes, you know, they get it all narrow-minded, bigots, you know. Hey, you guys, you're doing the same things that your ancestors did. And you think it's okay because you build tombs to the ones they killed. It's not okay. And it's wrong to let people think that it is okay. Then and now. For two reasons. One, some will finally catch it. I don't know where Naomi Wolf is now in her thinking. She's a very strong, if you know who she is, a very strong abortion advocate. She had a babysitter with a little Catholic high school girl. And that Catholic high school girl kept talking to her and said, you know, what you're advocating is murder. You're killing people. And she finally got it through to her so much that Naomi said, look, let's be real. Let's just acknowledge we're killing people. It hasn't slowed down this movement, but it's, you see, it's taken the cover away from it. Because as far as I know, Naomi Wolf is still an advocate of abortion. I'm using abortion because it's such a powerful issue, and it is right now. But there are plenty of other issues. The business practices. There was a time when I lived in Europe quite, you know, over 5 years of my life, 10 if you count the 5 in Israel, which is not exactly Europe. And the honesty of American business was something that the Europeans either admired or mocked, depending on who they were. But it was proverbial in the business world. And then the cover comes off. What had happened, you see? Where was there no one to say, Enron, you're sinning? You see, to stop evil, that's what our Lord is doing. And he's protecting the minds that are saying, well, maybe, maybe, you know. There's no maybe. Our Lord may talk like this at Judgment Day because it's the truth. And the truth is so important. We can't compromise with the truth. And that makes us so narrow-minded and bigoted and everybody knows. Of course, we got narrow-minded, bigoted Catholics, and we got narrow-minded, bigoted everything else. But the people walking out in front of the abortion clinics, the people trying to talk to their family, are they bigots? No. They love enough to speak the truth. People's minds should not be confused. You know, our drive toward evil is pretty strong, you may have noticed. All we need is a semi-excuse. And we could, you know, involve ourselves with evil. I was talking to a student recently who's studying moral theology. And wherever he's going to school, he said, you know, what bothers me, he's a prayerful little fella, you know. it seems as though the things the church used to think, well, doesn't think anymore, or they've adjusted, or they're, is that going to keep on? I said, look, because we pay much more attention today, of course, and rightly so, to the condition of the subject. It was never ignored. It was just, for reasons that would take us till noon, the famous turn toward the subject, much more aware of the acting or thinking person. So I said, I've given this example 100 times. So here's a girl, 14, and she gets pregnant. Her boyfriend says, get an abortion. School counselor says, get an abortion. Teachers say, get an abortion. Her friends say, get an abortion. The pastor says, get an abortion. So she gets an abortion. Does she commit a grave evil? Absolutely. That is a grave evil. And she's done herself and the church and the society grave harm. Is she culpable? That's up to God. 14-year-old under that pressure. But that doesn't change what's done. Do you understand? And the Bible first looks at the reality of the act because of what it does to the person who acts and what it does to the whole of the community. Evil has been set loose, whether it be financial or whatever kind of evil. It has to be resisted. And this is what our Lord is saying here, you see. You kind of excuse yourselves because you build monuments to the prophets. And so, you know, aren't we great? No, because we're doing the same thing that the people did who killed the prophets. We haven't changed. And it's kind of necessary in this, as we try to pray through all these things, to realize, you know, what can I say? Our idea of mercy is that he makes light of sin. But his idea of mercy is that he dies for it. And that's different. So, as we're thinking about these things, huh? And of course the result was they began to act toward, with hostility toward him, to ask him many things, to try to catch him up in something so they can bring a charge against him and kill him. But he saved, you know, how many minds were protected because he spoke out? It's important. I imagine right now in many families, many I know, this whole election business is dividing families. And it's dividing families over issues, not who's got the better financial plan or who's got the better, but who respects life. You say, well, that's a single issue. A guy puts a gun to your head and says, I'm going to blow your brains out. You don't say, well, that's a single issue. I mean, you know, go ahead if you want. It's a single issue, but if it's not your life that's being taken, that is not a single issue. If every human being is worth the blood of Jesus Christ, that is not a single issue. In fact, if you see, if death becomes the solution to all problems, then we live in a culture of death. And that's what's happened. I can still remember years ago when these two boys were fighting over basketball shoes. And one took out a gun and killed the other. Settled the problem. Death is the answer. Death is never the answer. The only death that was ever fruitful in that sense was our Lord and the martyrs. It's amazing that Luke, so early in his gospel, will be so overt about the real issues that are going on in our Lord's life, but he is.